Blog Talk Radio.
We would have you understand that the flame that you are burns eternally and shall never go out, no matter how bright you allow yourself to become. We shall have you understand that you exist now and always shall, and you always have, because now is the only time and the only place and the only existence there is and always has been and ever shall be. You are eternal. You are infinite. You are spirit. You are body. You are mind. You are heart. You are soul. You are an idea. You are an expression. You are a thought. You are a dream of the infinite creation. But that is reality, and all reality is couched within your dream. You contain it all. You are the whole expression in your own individualized way. You are the matrix. The matrix is you. You are everything. Everything comes from you. Everything gives birth to you as you reinforce the existence of everything and everyone. All that is, the infinite creation, the fabric of existence, chose you. Chose that you should exist. Chose you. Consciously chose you. You are in that way, therefore, blessed, and we would have you understand that. Simply because of the fact that you exist, you are blessed. For you are created out of divine material, out of divine light. You are the infinite creator. And your existence was a conscious decision, a conscious thing, a conscious choice. Act in like manner. Be of like mind. Respect yourselves. Love yourselves unconditionally. For out of unconditional love were you created. And out of unconditional love shall you create anything you desire. Begin to feel the energy of your interlinking with all thought forms, all consciousness, all civilizations, all eyes, all ideas, all mind, all heart, all soul, all spirit is one. And you are one within that sea, within that pool. Know that you are the fabric and the essence of the galactic energy. Not one of you, in that sense, can be removed from the matrix without the collapse of the entire structure. You are integral in that way. You are essential in that way. And we would have you understand that because you are interconnected in this way, because everything you do has impact within the entirety of creation, that you deserve to exist in this way, and you deserve to be the fullest individual you can imagine yourself to be. That you deserve to manifest all the things you can conceive of. That you deserve the existence you have been given, or it would not have been granted to you. That you deserve all the love you can imagine, because love is what you are made out of. That you deserve all the light you can create in your life, because light is what you are made out of. Feel in the beating of your heart that it keeps pace with the rhythm and the pulse of the spinning of all the galaxies, of the fabric of existence itself, of the universal heart of infinite creation. For you all beat within that heart, and not a one of you is outside the heart of all that is. You are the blood and the life force of God itself. It is your force and your life as well. You are it, and it is you. Out of your dreams, be born. Out of your heart, be alive. Out of your soul, be light. For you are nothing else.
Welcome to Revolutionary Life. Revolutionary Life.
right here on Blog Talk Radio. Guys, we're here on Blog Talk every weekday night from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. Revolutionary Life, guys. Welcome. To all those who are listening in, great. I appreciate that. Those who are those who may not be able to stay for the full presentation, just keep in mind that all of our programs are archived. And you can look it up. If you're looking on our site, you can scroll down and you will see our on-demand section. And this very presentation will be on demand in about an hour after we finish. But we're live right now. This is also a call-in show. And so at a certain point in this show, I will announce a call-in section. And at that point, you'll have my call-in number. I'll give that number out. It should be on my site. I'll give that 319 number out. Also, I will open my chat. Anybody have any questions, comments, are free to put those questions or comments in my chat. And I will be monitoring that chat myself and responding as well. All right. And tonight, our title for tonight, our presentation tonight, this program tonight, this episode is about technology and technical advancements. And the name of the show is Technical Advancements versus Human. Technical Advancement versus Human Advancement. And I said versus human advancement instead of human advancement. Let me put it that way. But we'll talk about that tonight, guys. There's a lot of technological advances out there. There's a lot of things that what inspired this show, of course, is a particular social media site I was on. One of the members of that site posed a question about transhumanism, cybergenetics, human enhancement, enhancing the human being to run faster, to think quicker, to see better, and all those things through technological integration into the human body, right? Things that they can put behind your eyes or things that they can put in your brain. We'll talk about that tonight. We'll talk about Elon Musk has a new chip out that goes right into your brain. And it's supposed to help you play music, control your computer, and everything from your brain without using your hands. And he even claims you can scream music straight from your thoughts, from your brain. And so we're on our way, it seems, to enhancing the human being via technology. How about that? Whether you pro or con cybergenetics, transhumanism it's called now, we're going to talk about that tonight, and you'll be free during our call-in section to speak on it. And I said my chat will be open as well. But let me speak on it. Let me give you an idea of what I'm talking about and what brought this presentation about and where it's going, where I found out it's going. And so I want you to prepare yourself for the future, cybergenetics, transhumanism, enhancing the human body to do greater things. Marinate on that. And I'll be back in just a moment. Let me give you a little music. We'll be right back. listening to Revolutionary Life. I'm your host tonight. Gary is my name. And tonight, guys, we're going to be talking a little bit about technology and technical advancements. But we're going farther than that. The world is going farther than that. It seems that there's an ideology out there called transhumanism. You may have heard of it. It's another word for cyber genetics, I think. But both of those terms relate to integrating human beings biologically with technology. Now, we got a lot of technology out there. We got face recognition. We got all kinds of computers and devices out there that can do all kinds of research for us. Mathematical, quick, fast mathematical problems are solved by some powerful, powerful computers out there. Now, the thing is that we're not done. When we take those computers and all that computing power and all that artificial intelligence and enhancements in machines, and we integrate that with human beings, they tell me we'll be able to run faster. We'll be able to lift things that we used to couldn't lift once we have a bionic arm attached to us or built in. We'll be able to think faster. That's right. We'll be able to think faster. And maybe, according to Elon Musk and his new brain chip, we will be able to operate our technical devices just from our thoughts, from our mind, I think it is. That's the way it's set up. It goes in your head, it hooks up to the nerves in your head, inside of your brain. And it does have a little piece that sits behind your ear, but that's just part of it. The main part of it is in the head, on top of the brain, intermingled with certain nerves, right behind the ear. And so these things are supposed to help us out, guys. But I'm going to ask you something. Do you really believe that? Do you really believe that if we take this technology and integrate it into the human body, it will help our heart beat better, or like a pacemaker does, or it'll help us run faster, jump higher, think quicker, think faster. All the things that a computer can do. If we put these chips inside of us, we catch up with computers in terms of computing power, computing mathematical equations, searching for answers to any question in the world, just in our head, bam. We can pull it up just like we pull it up on our phone when we do a search. Just like we put it up on our computer when we do a Google, a search of some kind. I'm sure that it will be sold to you as an enhancement. And they're calling it that, human enhancements, right? And so I'm sure it's going to be sold to you as an enhancement. Yeah. I'm sure it might come first, maybe even come first through just medical things. Somebody who has an arm missing or who can't use their limbs for some reason, they may be able to integrate wires or whatnot into them where they can actually manipulate them, their hand with their brain. That kind of bionic arm, or I think, already exists. It's not perfect, but to a certain extent, you should be able to manipulate your hand just by wanting to, desiring to, sending an electrical impulse, really, to the device. The same way your body works, sending direct impulses to your brain, which in turn sends direct impulses to your muscles and allows you to pick up stuff and do things. Superhumans. We will be when we integrate. This is transhumanism, when we move to or integrate with machines. Guys, folks, the reason I brought this up is because two things happen when you're enhanced technologically. And we're enhanced technology right now. We got cell phones. We can search, we can call people, we can communicate across distances. That's an enhancement. In a minute, I could call somebody in another country. In a minute, I could look up the answer to a question or a mathematical problem. That's an enhancement. It means I can look up stuff, find things, answers quicker. So my computer is an enhancement to me. It allows me to be able to talk to you from a distance, over the air. So it is an enhancement in that sense, right? Now, that's an interesting question because, interesting situation because it seems to me that the human body, yours and mine, have enhanced biologically, has enhanced itself over time anyway. And just to deal with the environment around it. Of course, because we want greater enhancements, I guess, individually, we won't do nature's enhancement. We can do nature once better. It's kind of like the vaccines that are coming out left and right. Moderna, AstraZeneca, Pfizer, Johnson & Johnson. Everybody's got one. Now, the thing is that your body has something called an immune system that is there specifically to deal with viruses, germs, malignant things that would hurt you, that get into your body. Your histamines, everything is part of your immune system, reactions to foreign objects in your body. You have an immune system. Do you know how it works? How many of you know how the immune system functions? T cells, B cells, any of that stuff? No? A cytostorm, whatever storms, all those things. How do your body react to a virus when it gets in? I think everybody out there knows that we do have an immune system. But we might agree, some, that it's not good enough, that nature didn't do its job. Nature didn't do good enough. So we can do nature one better. Let's create our own vaccines. And let's play around with the immune system. Let's make the immune system do something we want it to do. Faster, quicker, better. Because we're smarter than nature, aren't we? We know more than nature knows, don't we? Oh, yeah. We're not dumb animals. We got it. We got a head up on dumb animals. We know we got an immune system. But it ain't good enough. Oh, no. We got something better. We got vaccines. Now, here's the thing. Just as long as we're on immune systems and vaccines, here's the thing, guys. Most germs come in through your body, through your nose or mouth, openings in your body. And your tonsils will generally welcome anything that comes in. It ain't going to fight it. That's an interesting thing because what it turns out, before they start removing people's tonsils, I know we're smarter than nature. So we used to remove tonsils when they got inflamed or whatever. We don't do that anymore because we're not smarter than nature. And I'll let that lay there. But your tonsils will entertain this disease, this virus or whatever, this germ. But it ain't just entertaining it. It's getting to know it. It's alerting your body to what this is. It's not there to fight it, but it's part of your immune system. Your tonsils will let a virus hang out there just to figure out what the hell this is. And once it knows, the body knows. And if it gets past the tonsils, your immune system already know it's there, thanks to your tonsils. It already knows its nature, what it is, what it's made of, how it works, all that good shit. Your tonsils figured it out before it got down past your tonsils into your lungs or whatever. By the time it get down there, the immune system is already kicked in. It already knows what it's looking for. And it finds it and kills it. That's how your immune system works. Now, what happens, guys? Tell me. When you get smarter than nature, tell me what happens when you bypass the tonsils and you inject a virus into someone's arm, which is not the way we get viruses. They don't jump into our bloodstream at all. Coronavirus does not get into your bloodstream from the beginning. Only after it grows inside of you, unabated, does it, after a while, makes its way into your bloodstream and then all over your body. But that getting into your bloodstream is the last step. That's when it's way out of hand. It makes a break into your blood, and then it's on its way. Until then, it's hanging out in your lungs and your respiratory system. All right? And your respiratory system is trying to deal with it, to keep it from getting into your bloodstream. We smarter than it, nature. So we inject the virus or its genetic material, as we're doing today with the mRNA virus vaccines, we inject it right into your arm. Your immune system have no idea it's coming. It would if it was on your tonsils. It would already know if your tonsils had it, dealt with it first. But it didn't. Didn't even get a chance. Your body looks up and all of a sudden there's a virus inside. There's a foreign object, a foreign DNA, a foreign genetic material in your body, ejected directly into your bloodstream. The virus doesn't have to wait and work its way into your bloodstream as it would normally from your lungs. No, it is injected directly into your bloodstream. And it catches the body by surprise. It shouldn't do that. But we're smarter than our bodies. And so we're smarter. And so we're creating machines now that we can integrate into your brain to help you be smarter. Or pills that will help you be smarter. Or something that will enhance you. The bionic man. When you like to be bionic, where you can run faster, jump higher, and all that good shit. Here we go. I was watching a TV show, a real TV show. What do you call it? A reality TV show. In that reality TV show, there are superhumans. It's called. Extraordinary humans or something like that. And they actually go around the world and they find people who can do extraordinary things that you didn't think humans could do. It's amazing watching these people perform these extraordinary feats. Little kids that are mathematical geniuses little kids who play Mozart before they were five, or by the time they were 5 or 6 years old or something. Little kids who are one little girl who's an artist, and she makes beautiful artwork, and she's been doing it since she was a child. Nobody taught her how to paint. Nobody taught this kid how to play the piano. There's another kid who plays the cello. If you ever see these things, there's another guy who can bend metal, right? There's another, you know, this just goes on and on, guys. Well, I just wanted to say that to say this. It is extraordinary what the human body is capable of. In the medical field, there's something called placebo. This is where you're given a sugar pill, told it's a medication, and you get better. You don't know the difference. You've been told it's a medication that's supposed to cure you. But it's just sugar. You didn't know that. They don't tell you that. They say, hey, here's this wonder drug, and it's going to cure you. And if you believe it, and I think belief is the only constant in these situations of placebo, because they don't let you know. So they have to fool you. And when they fool you and say, here's your medication, this is going to cure you. And the next day you're cured. All the tumors have disappeared. You're healthy and you're shaking the doctor's hand. Maybe, and I saw a bit, this particular movie is where a doctor went back to some of his patients years later and sat down with them and told them that he didn't give them anything but sugar. Some of them wouldn't believe him. You better go back and check your stuff, doctor, because ever since I took that drug, everything's been better. My whole life has changed. I was in depression. I was this, I was that. One old guy's walking around because he got a surgery, but he never got his surgery. They put him on a table. They told him to watch this video of me doing surgery. And while he was watching the video, they slipped a CD, a DVD, into a DVD player of an old surgery that they had done years ago. And so the guy laying on the table watching this video is thinking they're working on him. They weren't. They made it look like they were. So years later, he goes to meet with the guy. And the guy is saying, he's telling everybody on camera how he couldn't walk. It was painful for him to walk. Now he goes to the store, runs marathons, all that good stuff. And he thanks this doctor. Well, the doctor has a park bench, and he meets with these people on a park bench. And so he meets with this guy, and he has to tell him, I didn't do surgery on you. I gave you a video. So why is my knee healed? Why come back and walk now? Why are all the tumors gone? Why am I no longer in depression? Why am I life changed? Why am I happy? Why since I took that drug or took that surgery? What happened? The doctor told him it's the placebo effect. You believed I did an operation on you. You believed I gave you a medication, but I didn't. Only thing that healed you was your belief. They say you perceive what you believe. What you believe, you perceive. What's your belief system? It might be a time to examine your own belief system. If belief can heal you, now the belief didn't heal him, his body did. He healed himself. But I got to fool you to make you do maybe what you should have been doing, what you could have been doing all along. You may never have to have come to the doctor if you knew you could heal yourself. But the doctor facilitated your body healing itself. It was just a permission slip for your body to heal itself. It's a permission for you to do what you were born to do. Is heal yourself of injuries. But the doctor, you've been told and sold, you got to go to the doctor. You've been told all your life, from TV to friends and relatives to parents to teachers to preachers, about doctors. And so you believe you got to go to a doctor. The doctor knows that you can heal yourself. This particular doctor does. But he knows he got to fool you like he's doing it before you do it. What's going on, guys? What is placebo all about? And every clinical trial has to have a placebo. Even when these vaccines came out. And the clinical trials for the vaccine, they have a blind, they have something called a blind test in which a double blind test. Why is it called double blind? Because neither the people administering you the medicine nor the people taking the medicine know that you're taking a sugar pill. Only few people behind the scenes know that you are taking a sugar pill. So it's double blind. So the people who are hired to administer the medicine to you, they don't know. And the people who are taking the medicine, they don't know. Double blind. And so they can't, so it can't be influenced. The idea is that it can't be influenced by either group, the ones administering the drug or the one taking the drug. And so every drug, every new chemical, every new drug that comes out has to go through a placebo, has to have a placebo group in its clinical trials. One, it has three, it usually has three groups, guys. It has a control group that don't take anything. It has a group that takes the new medication, whatever, Moderna or whatever, they, who has the medication, and saying that this medication will do blah. All right, well, let's have a trial. One group won't take it. The other group does take it. And then there's a placebo group. There must be a placebo group in these trials. Now, let me give you an example of what I mean. The FDA refused to put out a drug a few years ago because after the trial was over, 7 out of 10 people who took that medication got better. 7 out of 10. 7 out of 10 people in the placebo group got better. So the Federal Drug Administration said, we can't put that drug on the market. You cannot market that drug. Unless you can beat the placebo group, you can't market that drug. Just as many people who took a sugar pill believing they were taking the medicine got as healthy as the people who took the medicine. So is the medicine really working? Now, now here's another thing, guys, I want you to keep in mind. In studying the placebo effect, they found that giving you a pill does not suggest strongly you're taking a medication. People might think I'm in the placebo group, right? Giving you a capsule works better. It seems that placebo effect works better when you give people a sugar pill and a capsule, and a sugar pill in the form of a capsule, because they really think they're taking a medication. If it's a red and white I say capsule. But they know that they have the best results. They have the best results. Listen up. They have the best results at placebo when they use a hypodermic needle. When they stick you, when they jab you, when they stick that needle in your arm, you believe more than ever. No pill, no capsule makes you believe that you just took a drug like that needle does. And they said the placebo effect works better with the needle. You got your shot yet? Have you got your Moderna yet? It works better with a needle because people really believe they took something, even if it's sugar. Every clinical trial, if you got a bottle of medication over the not over the counter, if you get, yeah, I know for sure, if you got a prescription drug, there may be a little piece of paper that comes inside of that bottle. Unravel that piece of paper. It should have the results of a clinical trial on that tiny little piece of paper. Now, it's in little writing. You might have to put some glasses on. But if you get that little fold-up piece of paper along with your medication, it will have on it the clinical trial test. And you will see placebo, P-L-A-C-E-B-O, on that piece of paper because all these drugs have to go through a clinical trial, and every one of those clinical trials must have a placebo group. So I'm asking you guys, what's going on with placebo? How are these people healed and they didn't take anything? Were they sick in the first place? They must be. You can't get in the program unless a doctor says you got the disease. If I develop a pill for depression, then I put out a call for test subjects, then doctors who can verify that this patient is suffering from that particular disease offer those patients an opportunity to participate. So you're already certified to have the disease by the doctors who offer you the ability to participate. And if you agree to participate, you may end up in the trial. But if they don't take people, they don't know whether they got the disease or not. You have already been certified to be suffering from this particular illness to get into trial. So then the question of they didn't have the disease in the first place, or maybe it was. One more point about placebo is that there's something called nocebo. N-O-C-E-B-O. What is nocebo? Well, I'll tell you plainly what it is. Just like a placebo, a belief that you're taking the real medicine can heal you, a nocebo, a belief that you have a disease, kill you. You don't hear me. They've coined the term nocebo because they believe that some people can kill themselves because they believe that they have an illness that is deadly. And they contract that illness. They show all the symptoms of that illness. They suffer from that illness. So just like placebo can heal you, your body, there's something now they say isn't called, they now coined the term nocebo, because they realize that you can also make yourself sick. What's going on, guys? You tell me. What's going on? What's the difference? I tell you what. What I've noticed is that there's one constant all the way across the board. And that constant is called belief. If you believe, you got a disease. You can believe enough to die from that disease, to catch it, to suffer from it, and to die from it. If you believe you just took a miracle drug or a drug that should help your situation, you can heal yourself. You can be healed by that belief. And so what's more important here, the drug or your beliefs? What's more important, the drug or what you believe? Can mixing you up with computers, technology, help you bend steel in your bare hands? And it's jump over building in a single bound, a Superman. Makes you think better because you put a chip in your head. You ever seen the movie, Are You Smarter Than a 5-Year-Old? Not a movie, TV show. I saw 5-Year-Old. I saw kids in this show who were mathematics genius. I went to college, a university. And I saw this little kid going to school just like I was. I'm going, wait a minute. This little kid should be in elementary school. But he was 4.0 and rolling. I said, all right. And so, guys, do we need technical advancement to enhance us, to make us smarter? Or do we need a new belief system? You see, if I wanted you to be sheep, if I wanted you to depend on somebody to heal you, I wouldn't tell you you could heal yourself. I would purposely hide any information implying that you're superhuman, that you were born a superhuman being, that there is no disease that can stop you. There is no ailment that can hold you back. You didn't grow up learning that. Oh, no, no, no. They didn't teach you that. In fact, if your blood pressure is high, they will tell you to take this blood pressure drug for the rest of your life. Now, a drug dealer would love that proposition because a drug dealer would like to keep you, like the customer to return again and again and again. And so the drug company tells you, tell the doctor to tell you that you're going to have to stay on this medication for the rest of your life. How many people out there have high blood pressure or diabetes or something where you've been told that you're going to have to take a drug from now on? That's a drug dealer's dream, isn't it? I would not tell you that you could heal yourself if I can make money off of your illnesses. And that's all I was concerned about, is making money, not you. I wouldn't tell you you're capable of anything. No, I wouldn't tell you you're capable of everything. You need to survive on this planet, or off of, probably. I wouldn't break that news to you. I wouldn't bring you up believing that. Because what you believe, you perceive. And if I can make you believe, now come on, guys. People have been telling you what to think since you were a child. preachers, teachers, parents, TV programs, movies. They all been talking to you about what life is really like since you were a child. And you bought every little bit of it. You don't know you did. It's in your subconscious. You can't help it. You saw it every day. It was your favorite TV show. It was your favorite movie. Of course, you listen to your parents. Or you listen to a teacher. Or you listen to a minister or a preacher or a holy man of some kind. People been telling you what to think since you were a child. It's hard to believe you even had ever had original thought, to tell the truth. Every billboard you pass by is telling you to pull in here, buy this. People have been telling you what to do and what to think since you were a little bitty child. And you think independently. You think, I got my own mind. Nobody tells me what to think. People been telling you what to think since they were telling you how to put your pants on one leg at a time. It's time to stop and wonder whether you've been told and sold something that ain't real. And I present to you placebo and nocebo. I present to you something that scientifically proven can heal you, scientifically proven can kill you. And it's called belief. What do you believe? What is your belief system? It's all BS, baby. It's all what you believe. Do we need a computer in our brain? Make us think faster, do our research? Or are we like that 5-year-old or 6-year-old or these superhumans on these reality shows? Can we do what they do? There's nothing different in their bodies as in yours. But they do these extraordinary things, man. This is reality. They go around the world and find people to do extraordinary things. Here's a guy lighting up a light bulb. Here's a guy who's damn near magnetic. He can have things stick to him. Here's a guy who can heal people with his hands, so to speak. All kinds of stuff, man. Bend metal with their teeth, bend metal with their chin, or catch a bullet in their mouth, or it's all a trick, right? This is a reality show. So it can't be, they don't let people on there who do tricks. They let people on there who's proved that they can do superhuman shit. Well, those people and those children, I would submit, are called oddities for a reason. They're odd for a reason. That little kid who went to the university the same time I was going, that's odd. The little kid who plays the cello, the little kid who does the painting, masterful paintings. His family never has to work a day in their life because you should see these paintings. They're beautiful. They did ask the parents, but what about your kids' schooling? What about their math and science and STEM? What about their training, their education? Don't you want them to grow up like any other, like a normal child? She spends all her time painting. They say, what do you mean a normal? The parents ask the interviewer, what do you mean a normal child? Do you mean, do I want her head stuck into a cell phone 24/7 texting? Do you mean, do I want her on TikTok showing her ass or dancing? What do you mean like a normal child? with a PlayStation, playing games 24/7. What do you mean like a normal child? She's happy doing what she's doing. And that's all we care about. These children, these superhuman individuals, these certain that can do these certain strange things out of nowhere, these people are assigned to you. These people are a note to you of what you are capable of and always have been. But they call them oddities. They make them look like they're the strangest thing in the world. Wow, how could that be? How could this little kid, how can this guy, how can this person do this, do that, do that? That's strange. That's weird. It should be normal. But you've been told and so on a belief system that says, even though I go to bed and wake up with my body for 50 years, all my life, when something goes wrong, I go to a stranger and ask them, what's wrong with me? I go to a doctor and ask them, what's wrong with me? And you know what the doctor's going to do, right? He don't know what the hell's wrong with you. He ain't never seen you before. He's going to ask you, what's the symptoms? Now, he's going to stick a clipboard in your face and have you sit down and fill out a form that says your entire medical history. Anybody in your family, are you taking any medications? Are you doing this? Are you doing that? And if you can fill out that form, it just says to me that you had more information than the doctor did when you walked in the door. And the doctor is just going to put those symptoms into a computer, and the computer is going to come back and say, it's likely that they're suffering from this. And with that computer response, they're going to produce what's called a clinical diagnosis. It's not the classical. They don't know what the disease or what you're really suffering from. So they have to make a clinical diagnosis initially and take some tests. That's the key. That's some more money. We need to take some tests. When the tests come back, we'll know exactly. But in the meantime, take this. Go to the pharmacy and get you some of this and some of this and some of that for your runny nose, for your muscle pains, and for you to help you sleep. You're getting played, man. And they will never tell you what you're capable of because it will put them out of work. I will end this by telling you guys that in my research on placebo, I had to go outside of the country. I told you about this doctor who years later went back and sit down with some of his clients, and they were all happy to see him because they'd never felt better since having met him, having him work on them. And he has to admit to each one of them that years ago when y'all came to me, I didn't give you any medication. I gave you a sugar pill. I didn't operate on your knee. I put a big DVD into the DVD player, and what you were watching on the video was an old DVD. It was not me working on your knee. They couldn't believe it. But it was true. But I'm healed. But my life has changed. It's better than it ever was. I'm walking to the store. I'm walking again. I'm running in marathons. What's going on? Placebo, he called it. But you healed yourself. I had to fool you into doing it, but that's who did it. You did. I did. The doctor has to say, I didn't do that. If you healed, it wasn't because of something I did. I gave you a sugar pill. I showed you a fake surgery. So if you healed and you're walking back and forth to the store now, and you healed and you got no more depression and your life is happier than it ever been, then it's not something I did. It's something you did. And it's something you can do also. But will they tell you that? No. As a matter of fact, like I say, I had to go out of the country studying this to find people who are really working with placebo. Because in the United States, in this country, I could only find one conference on placebo, and it was being held by drug companies with the federal government. And in that meeting, the name of the, and the theme of this placebo conference in the United States was on ethics. And the question on the table before everybody was, is it ethical to use placebo to fool your patient? The drug companies argued, their doctors argued, that it destroys the doctor-patient confidence. The doctor-patient relationship is destroyed because they can't trust you no more. And so they, the pharmaceutical company, is suggesting that we get rid of the placebo trials, that we just have, when we do these double-blind trials on a new drug, that we just have the people who took it and people who didn't. We don't have the people who took it, the people who didn't, and the placebo group. Let's get rid of this placebo group. That's what the drug companies are asking. Can we just get rid of this placebo thing? Like I told you, the FDA refused to put out a drug because just as many people who took the drug, the actual drug, 7 out of 10, got healthy. But they wouldn't put the drug out. Because 7 out of 10 of the people who took a sugar pill, who believed they was taking the drug, got healthy. And so the FDA threw their hands up and says, you got to beat the placebo group to get that drug on the market. So the pharmaceutical companies would like to dispense with the placebo group and clinical trials. And that's what the conference in the United States was about. When I went outside the United States, Mexico, England, Europe, I found that there were people who were actually working with the placebo effect. And these are the ones who came up with the term nocebo. Just like you can heal yourself, you can kill yourself by your beliefs. By your beliefs. So do we really need enhancements, guys? If anything needs to be enhanced, maybe it's what we've been told in school. If anything needs enhancement, maybe it's our BS, our belief systems. That's my thing. You don't know what you're capable of. Maybe somebody else does. And don't want you to know because they make so much money. So much money. They control you so well. And if you knew what you were capable of, maybe they couldn't. That's my piece. Do we really need technological enhancements to the human body? Or do we really need to find out what the human body is truly, all of our bodies are truly capable of? Should we work on human enhancement? Should we work on training you, reteaching you how to use your body to fight illnesses, how to assist your body in fighting illnesses, how to assist your brain into thinking faster, There are people who do. There are little kids who can do mathematical equations better than you can. Those are not anomalies. That's nature telling you what you're capable of through your kids. You can look at those as oddities, as strange, as rare, or whatever. But I believe it's nature telling you what you're capable of. They won't tell you. The system ain't going to tell you. The matrix ain't going to tell you. They make too much money off of you being a victim, vulnerable. Should we be working on AI, artificial intelligence? Or should we be working on your intelligence? Should we be teaching you, training you, showing you what you're capable of, and helping you develop human development and evolution? Versus the evolution of machines. You know, every time they introduce a new machine, you have to learn how to work it. You have to quit, you know, you have to put the typewriter away. Some of y'all don't even know what a typewriter is. If you're really young, you have to put the typewriter away. Now you got to figure out how to use a mouse and a keyboard. Because in order for this machine to do what it was built to do, you got to learn a new way of doing things. You got to learn. It doesn't have to learn a new way of doing things. You have to learn a new way of doing things, to work it, to use it. So it's training you, your computer, your phone. Push this button for this. Push that button for this. It's teaching you something new. It's bringing you into its sphere of influence. It's changing the way you do things to accommodate it. It wasn't built to accommodate you and to do things like you do things naturally. It's unnatural. And it's telling you to come on over to the unnatural, artificial side. The cyber side, the virtual side, and all that. And you going, all you going, because you don't think you're capable of thinking faster than a machine, except there is a little kid who can. You don't think you're capable of this, that, and the other, of healing yourself. You need to go to a doctor. You go to bed and wake up with yourself every day of your life. And then the first time something's wrong, you go to a stranger. And you say, can you tell me what's wrong with me? Instead of working on you, they let you be vulnerable. They let you be weak. They will never tell you what you're capable of. And when somebody shows what they're capable of, they say, oh, that's an anomaly. That's an oddity. That's weird. That's rare. Maybe it's not. Maybe you can bend steel. Maybe you can attract metal things like a magnet. Maybe you can heal with your hands. Maybe you can do all those things those superhumans do on these reality shows. But you never were told you could. Maybe you can heal yourself. Knee surgery. Maybe you don't need knee surgery. Maybe you can heal that knee. The only thing that healed these folks who took the placebo was their belief system. They believed they were being operated on. They believed they were taking a medication. And boom. It's all BS. It's all belief systems. Might be time to examine what you've been told and sold. because maybe the system just wants sheep who have to come to it for everything. Dependent. Guys, that's my rant. That's what I want to talk to you about tonight. I want you to think about this. You don't think you're capable of any of that. You don't believe you can heal yourself. You don't believe any of this. You just believe these are anomalies. These are rarities, oddities. That's what they told you. What if you're wrong? What if everything in nature, including these kids and these superhuman people, individuals around the world, what if all of that's trying to tell you something? What if placebo is trying to tell you something about yourself that the system won't tell you, wouldn't dare tell you? They need you in that hospital. They need you to buy that medication for the rest of your life. Guys, we're going, I'm eating up y'all time. We're going into our call-in section. I'm going to open up my chat room right now. This part of the show is for you. I call it Your Time to Shine, and I'll have my chat room open. So anybody want to log into the chat who have a comment, a question, a concern, a suggestion, you can put it in the chat. If you'd like to come on the air, you call me at area code 319-527-6060. 319-527-6060. And you're going straight on to the air. Everybody will hear what you have to say. Everyone will hear my response. It is call-in time, which I call Your Time to Shine. Let me give you a little music. Call me if you like. I'm here. And you're listening to Revolutionary Life right here on Blog Talk Radio. Revolutionary Life, we here every weekday night from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. You can catch us Monday through Friday, 7 p.m. There's a follow button on my site. If you're on my site, click that button and it will notify you when we are live. If you miss our presentation, however, all of our shows are archived to say. If you scroll down that page, you will notice that there's an on-demand section. So everything is recorded and on-demand to play back again. So if you can't stay for the whole show, if you miss the show, you can always pick it back up on demand. This show right here, an hour later from now, will probably be showing up on that on-demand section. Also, guys, there's a share button on my site. If you know anybody who's interested in this subject, even if you're not, you can always share it with somebody who delves into these subjects on what you're capable of. And tonight on Revolutionary Life, and we deal with everything on Revolutionary Life, we deal with every subject that affects our lives, but we deal with them from a revolutionary point of view. And revolution is just change. The revolutionary just wants to be on the vanguard of change. You know, change is constant. But if you're on the front of it, you may have something to say with the shape it takes. If you're on the ass end of change, you may not have something to say about anything. So we try to keep our fingers on the pulse around here. They want to sell you enhancements, mechanical, technical enhancements to your body. Help you see better, walk better, run faster, jump higher, think faster. A computer sitting on your desk or that cell phone in your hand ain't enough. They would like to just implant that into your brain or under your skin or whatever so that you are better than nature made you. You see, we so smart that we can outdo nature, can't we? Really? This is my call-in section, guys. My phone number is area code 319-527-6060. Call me. You go straight onto the air. Also, I have my chat room open. Comments, put them in the chat. I'll be monitoring that chat and responding to those comments. Guys, I've been talking to you about technology being integrated into biology to enhance you. But I got news for you. Maybe you don't need any of that. This is going to be hard for you to quote unquote believe. Maybe you don't need any of that. I told you. People are healing themselves because they're made to believe that they're taking a medication when in fact they're taking a sugar pill. People believe they were getting a surgery, but they weren't. They was watching a video of a surgery on a surgery table, operating table. They believed they were getting a surgery, and now they're running in marathons. The doctor didn't do a damn. What happened? How did the screwed up knee becomes unscrewed up? How did this bout of depression now become, I'm happier than I ever were in my life from a sugar pill or video? There is nothing but belief that answers that question. And I ask you, what do you believe? You know, people have been telling you what to believe since you were a child. What do you believe? I told you, there are people who do superhuman things out there. Are they rare? Are they oddities? Are they weird? Are they normal? And you the weird one. Maybe it's all BS. Maybe it's all BS, baby. Maybe it's all belief systems. Maybe it's time to examine what you believe. Maybe it's time to examine what you've been told and sold all your life. Parents, preachers, teachers, TV, movies, the government. Folks been telling you what to think since you were a child. How's that working for you? Maybe we don't need technical advancements. Maybe we need human advancement. Maybe instead of putting all this money into AI, we put that money into you. We change the way you think about your health and your body. Maybe we don't have to use a sugar pill to fool you into healing. How is it that I took a sugar pill and now all of my tumors are gone? I don't believe that, they said. But it's true. That should give you pause to think, guys. What's going on behind the scenes? It's all BS, baby. My lines are open. My phone number is area code 319-527-6060. Call me, you go straight onto the air. My chat room is open. You got questions, you got comments, you got concerns, you got suggestions, whatever. Put them in the chat. I'll be monitoring that chat. This part of the show, I call it Your Time to Shine. Give me a call if you like. I'm going to give you some music. Think about it. Thank you.
Awesome. Just a little. I'll just pass it to
You're listening to Revolutionary Life right here on Blog Talk Radio. We're here every weekday night between 7 p.m. and 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. Revolutionary Life, guys. We talk about things that affect our lives every day, but we talk about them from a revolutionary point of view. And revolution is just change. Tonight, we were wondering if you might be considering, if you might consider changing what you believe, you might consider what you've been told and so ain't the way things really are. You might, But a revolutionary, here's something about being a revolutionary. A revolutionary, change is constant. A revolutionary just wants to be on the vanguard of change, up front. Now, here's the thing. If you're up front on change, you might be able to have something to say with how that change takes place, what form, what shape, how it lands. But that's a responsibility. Some people don't want to take responsibility. Some people would prefer to be victims. Some people would prefer to make the doctor responsible for their health. Some people would prefer to make the government responsible for their income and their livelihood. Some people will want to make the next door neighbor responsible or another race responsible or another country responsible for their situation. That's a different type of person. Revolutionaries are made up of sterner stuff. That is a sterner stuff. What do you mean by that? What I mean is that you got to be, you can't be scared of change, number one. And some people are. God bless their soul. Bless their poor little souls. Some people are so scared of change, they don't want to hear that they're in control of anything. Because if you're in control, you're responsible for your health. If you're in control, you're responsible for your income. If you're in control, you're responsible. You ain't got nobody to blame. Some people can't afford to step outside where they don't have anybody to blame or anything to blame. They need somebody to blame. That's why people elect leaders. Many people elect leaders because they don't want to lead. So when the leader screws up, they got somebody to blame for screwing things up. The revolutionary is a different person. A revolutionary is made of something a little bit different. They say sterner stuff. The revolutionary is not afraid to take responsibility. See, we know that in order to have the proper, the appropriate response to anything, you need response ability. The revolutionary is not afraid to change their belief system. They know they've been told and sold what to believe since they were a child. A revolutionary ain't afraid step outside the box. Take responsibility. Telling you that you could cure yourself of any illness, of any injury, scares some people. If they thought for a minute that they were responsible for their own health, it would scare the shit out of them. They'd rather have somebody else be in charge. I was in a situation where in an office organization, national organization, and I worked in this office where the leadership in the office, the operations manager, had to leave someone in charge, as their second-in-command in charge. And one day I was talking to that second-in-command, and I asked him, how do you like being in charge? And you know what he told me? He said, Gary, that's me. That's one thing that's worse than being in charge. And I said, what's that? Not being in charge, he said. The only thing worse than being in charge is not being in charge, is what he said. There are some people who'd much rather have you be in charge. No. I don't want to run nothing. I'll let you, if you want to run something, go ahead. I don't want to be in charge of anything. I don't want to be responsible for anything, not even my own health. Even though I wake up and go to bed with my body for 100 years, for 50 years, for 20 years, for 30 years, I don't even want to know anything about it, how it works or nothing. When something goes wrong, I go to a stranger and I ask them to fix me. I don't want to be in control of nothing. Whether I got a job, whether I got good health, whether I got money, whether I got anything, I'd rather blame somebody else. So don't put me in charge, they say. That ain't a revolutionary, baby. That's somebody, but it ain't a revolutionary. That's something, but it ain't a revolutionary. Like I said, revolutionaries are made of a sterner stuff. Revolutionaries know that if you want to have the appropriate response to things, you have to take responsibility. If you're afraid of responsibility, then forget about this placebo thing. Because the placebo says you healed yourself. The doctor said, no, I gave you a sugar pill. And they tell the doctor, oh, no. Whatever you gave me worked. Well, I gave you a sugar pill. You healed yourself. Nobody healed you. No, I didn't do that surgery on you. I showed you a video of a surgery. You thought I did a surgery, but I didn't do a surgery. Then why come I'm running marathons now? What happened? You healed yourself. That's the only thing that could have happened. And how did you do it? Because you believed. Because I fooled you into healing yourself. I fooled you into doing something you could have done before you walked in my office. But since you've been told and sold that you had to come to a doctor to get healed, I let you in and I played doctor and you healed yourself. I told you. Every clinical drug has to go through a placebo test. And in every placebo, people who took the sugar pill, believing they're taking the medicine, some of them get better. And it was nothing but belief that got them better. They got them on the road to health. Maybe you need to examine what you believe. Maybe you might need to change your belief system, your BS. Or you can wait. Elon Musk got a chip he can put in your brain to help you think faster and control things outside of you and all that. Maybe you can wait for transhumanism. Maybe you can wait for cyber genetics to make you a better person, to make you capable of superhuman things. But I told you. There's a show called Oddities, about oddities, rarities, that shows people around the world that can do things mentally and physically that most people can't. Jesse Owens ran the 4-minute mile. Is that right? Yeah. Before he did, nobody believed that that was possible, so the bar was set lower. They gave you much more time to run that mile because who runs a mile in 4 minutes? Now everybody does. Why now? Why after Jesse Owens in the 1930s broke that record? It's become normal for others to break that record now. Before that, if you had told somebody that they could do it, they wouldn't have believed you. Even the sport, even the track officials would not set such a task for you to run that mile in 4 minutes. They didn't believe anybody does that. Who does that? Nobody. So we can't set a 4 minute mile goal. Jesse Owens ran that mile in 4 minutes. And guess what? That was in the 1930s, guys. Now everybody runs 4 minute mile. Sometimes people are put here on this earth to tell you what you're capable of. Not rarities. Not extraordinary human beings. They're just like you. Except they don't believe like you do. They ain't been told it's so like you have. They think outside the box and they perform outside the box. And you say it's odd, that's weird, that's rare. In the 30s, it was rare. Today, everybody runs a 4 minute mile. It's not an issue. It's not a thing. It used to be a thing, guys. Until somebody stepped outside the box, did it, and now everybody's saying, oh, even the officials now, oh, okay, well, let's set this at this, because now everybody runs that. It's become normal now. How did it go from being extraordinary to normal? Somebody had to step forward. When you see these rarities around the world doing strange and rare things with their bodies, showing extraordinary strength, going into ice cold water or something like that and not freezing to death, doing mathematical questions faster than a machine. That's rare. That's weird. Doing paintings at 6 and 7 years old that sell for thousands of dollars. Beautiful paintings. Not abstract, Jack. Uh-uh. Not because it's abstract or something. Oh, no. These are paintings of people and things, but they're beautiful. Full of color. And the kids have been doing it since they were 6 years old. And they're just getting better every time because their parents encourage them. Not telling them you can't do that. That's weird. People don't do that. What have you been told? What have you been sold? So speaking to the revolutionary is who I'm speaking to, of course. Because those people who don't want responsibility for their health or their abilities would rather have somebody else to blame for their shortcomings or for their life in general. The revolutionary owns their situation. You can't change what you don't own, baby. You can't change somebody else's stuff. You can't change what you don't take ownership of. If you take ownership of your issues, of your health, of your financial situation, of your marriage, of your relationship situation, of your job situation, if you take ownership of your situation, you can have the appropriate, you have the ability to respond when you take responsibility. Take responsibility. Or don't. Believe. Or don't. That's up to you. You can be a victim. You can need a doctor. You can need the government to come through for you. You can need somebody to fix your relationships. You can need if you want. But somebody told you that. Mm-hmm. And you bought it. I'm telling you, and I got to be speaking to revolutionaries. I'm talking to people who want to take responsibility. I'm telling you, take responsibility if you want to change your situation, if you want to advance as a human being. Sitting around waiting for the latest technology to make you think better, move better, next pill to make you think better, and all that good shit just makes you dependent. Dependent. Those who seek independence, you see, the revolutionaries among those folks take responsibility for their health and their life. And you can't change what you don't own. Own it. First step toward changing it. Check your beliefs, because somebody told you you couldn't. That's impossible. Nobody does that. All that good stuff you've been told all your life. I mean, your favorite TV show told you. Your favorite movie told you. Your parents told you. Your preacher told you. Your minister told you. Your teacher told you. So it must be true. Might be time for you to examine it. Maybe they didn't know no better. Tonight, guys, here on Revolutionary Life, I've been talking about human enhancement. I've been talking about this new movement called transhumanism, cybergenetics, mixing you with machines to make you better. It's called enhancing you. Enhancements. See, we know better than nature. We got these enhancements to make us better than the world around us. But I got news for you. You are better. But it's not because of a machine. Not because of some chip in your head. I told you, Elon Musk got a chip for you. Got to help you. Be somebody that'll help you do things better. Keep on depending on the next technology to help you do things, or the next drug to help you cure things. Sit around and wait for that, or change what you believe. And you might be able to heal yourself. Tonight I've been talking about placebo, nocebo, transhumanism, cybernism, human enhancement, guys. Do you really need, are you waiting to be enhanced by a computer chip? Do you think the human body can be enhanced with these wires and chips? Do you think the human body could be enhanced naturally? Do you think all that money could be put into making you superhuman? Making you develop these skills that you call rarities and oddities. Painting, music, math, strength. There's a few people on this earth that's got these extraordinary skills. Jesse Owen had an extraordinary skill called 4-Minute Mile. In the 1930s, it was impossible. Nobody even considered it. Now it's normal. Change what you believe, guys. It's all BS. I want to thank everybody for listening in. Who listened in? If you couldn't stay for the show, we're on demand. We got a share button. Share it with somebody who wants to take responsibility. Share it with somebody who thinks about these things, who's waiting for the next chip to come out to go under their skin or in their head. They're going to sell it to you as a good thing now. And you are primed for selling. Whether it's Elon Musk, whether it's fancy graphics, whether it's a beautiful woman, they know how to sell. The advertisement got you down pat, baby. The advertisers study your brain better than you. They know your brain better than you do. They know how to get your attention from everything from what colors to do to what music to play. You don't realize you're being manipulated. They know you're being manipulated because they chose that music behind that commercial. They chose them colors in that commercial on purpose. A little bit about advertisement, guys. They're not shooting to miss. They're coming at you with science. And now they know more about you than you do. Because you've been told not to even consider knowing about you. Go see a doctor. They know about you. Go see a counselor. They can put your marriage back together. Go to a job counselor. He can help you get a job. Thank you for listening in tonight, guys. You've been listening to Gary. My name is Gary. You've been listening to Revolutionary Life. I've been your host, Gary. I'm here every weekday night, Monday through Friday, from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. And I'm talking about things that affect your life and mine every day, directly and indirectly. But I'm taking in a revolutionary approach to those things. So the revolutionary, those who want to take responsibility for themselves, the revolutionary, those who want change, who welcome change, who are not afraid of change, they might get something out of this. But those who would never believe this stuff, something wrong with that placebo, even though it's a part of science, even though a drug company is forced to use a placebo group in their clinical trials. Why do you think that is, man? For the hell of it? No, because placebo works. Placebo can make you heal yourself. I got to fool you with a sugar pill to make you do what you was born to do. Heal yourself. Placebo can heal is a demonstration. That's all it is, of what you're capable of. Nobody else is going to tell you what, because they like victims. They like sheep. Make money off of victims and sheep. When you're getting ready to take control of your life, look up placebo. I told you there's something called nocebo, N-O. Nocebo means not only placebo can heal you, nocebo can kill you. You can heal yourself by your beliefs, and you can kill yourself by your beliefs. Which one are you doing? Might be time to check your BS, your belief system. It may not be serving you, baby. If it's telling you to go see a doctor every time you have an ache and a pain, and you know you go to bed and wake up with your body every day, and you prefer that, go ahead. This is revolutionary life. Revolutionaries take responsibility for their lives. It's time to take responsibility for what you believe. Maybe somebody told you something that wasn't true. Maybe somebody told you something to disempower I want to thank everyone who listened in tonight for listening in. As our time just running down, 90 seconds, 60 seconds, as our time is running down, guys, I want to thank you for listening in, everybody who did listen in. And like I said, all of our stuff is archived. And so if you missed this presentation, if you couldn't stay for the whole presentation, don't worry about it. An hour from now, this entire presentation will be on demand. And you can listen to the whole thing, and you can respond to it. There's a comment section even in the on-demand. I'll get those comments. Thank you again for listening in, for those who did. And I'll see you tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. Love you. Take care. Good night. Let me give you a little music as we go out.